Turn to Galatians, the book that we're meditating on all year. Now, remember that the word that we preach is actually your life. In other words, your life depends upon the word of God. We live, we actually stay alive, we're living, but we have a quality of life by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So, as we read his word that was inspired by men, ordinary men, that word is not intended for the one who wrote it, but for the ones who hear, because they didn't create those words. They didn't produce those words. But the Holy Spirit inspired them to write those words down for our sake, for our salvation, for our sanctification, for our glorification. So these words are written that you may live today with an abundant life. Verse 6, because we did the first five last time, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ, God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave him, Jesus, for our sins. He gave himself, Jesus, for our sins. So Jesus laid down his life so that you would not be trapped, caught, subject to your foolishness, your weakness, your ineptitude, your forgetfulness, whatever. Jesus knew our frame. He knew our nature, that we are like dust, and we are not heavenly by our natural birth. By our natural birth, you are not heavenly, though you were born from heaven, that is by the heavenly hand. Yet you're not of heaven, and that's something you choose. You choose that. You don't. It doesn't just happen to you. You don't have to merit it. It's a free gift, but nevertheless, you have to take it. You have to take the livery. When you send something or someone, they have to be received, or you have to take the livery of that which was sent, or that which was proclaimed to you. And so this person, Jesus, has died for all your sins so that you might never be troubled by your sins. But I know if I'm normal like you, I'm troubled by my sins. I realize every day, I was telling that to Peggy in the car, that I'm a total weakling. I'm a total failure. If I were to meditate on my sins, I'd be destroyed, because I see how inept I am and how worthless I would be without Jesus. So Jesus is my only God, my only hope, my only joy, my only peace. I don't have a life apart from Jesus. There's no one I can rely upon. But most importantly, I can't rely upon myself, even to know what's right and wrong, even to do what I know, and so on and so forth. So I really don't have a life apart from Jesus, and I'm saying this for your sake. You don't either. You don't have anything but Jesus. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none on earth that I desire beside thee. So that is the nature of our life. And the older that we grow, the more you realize how feeble you are. You don't have that pride and confidence you used to have about arranging your time schedule, about meeting all your obligations, about keeping your health. Things begin to fall apart and everything, and you realize, wow, this world is really, if all I have in this world is me and other people, I'm in trouble. Yeah. And so you're not in trouble, though.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because Jesus came to die for all your sins, and you may not be worried about that because you have faith in Jesus, and I know you all do. Nevertheless, when you are forgiven all your sins, God can't withhold all of his blessings. So you not only are forgiven, but you're given something that accompanies salvation. And that, and then you just, there's no end to what God wants to give to you now and forever.
Praise the Lord.
So we live by every word that constantly comes out of the mouth of God. Totally undeserved, unmerited, unwarranted. But nevertheless, he made a promise. He swore it. And I don't know why I believe that, but I believe that. And I don't believe anything else. I believe that God is for me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Now, the book of Galatians only has two things. It only is talking about two things. One, that there's two kinds of righteousness. This is one kind, and then this is the other kind. One is active, and one is passive. So this one over here on God's right hand, your left, on God's right hand, this one is the passive righteousness because Jesus is your righteousness. This is all that matters to me. This is all that matters to me. And it's all that must matter to you who are born again, born of the Spirit, born not naturally anymore. Of course, you were born naturally, but you've been born again. And that second birth, that second life is God's life in you. That's the only difference, is God has always been God. But he never was in us. He was for us, but he was not in us. And now that God who is in us doesn't want us anymore. He's our husband. He married us. We're his children, you know, whatever. However you want to put it, we're intimately connected to him, and he doesn't want you to act anymore. He doesn't want you to act anymore. He wants you to stop behaving yourself. Stop acting. And just simply relax. Just simply rest in his finished work. You remember on the cross, he said it's finished. His finished work, now that was redemption. But the Holy Spirit's still working. The Holy Spirit's still alive. And we've been now, because we believed in the blood of Jesus, we now receive the Holy Spirit. You don't have to take it. It's offered to you. If you want it on a daily basis, take it. If you don't, if you want to still do your own thing, there's no problem. You can do that. But you will soon lose your connection with Jesus because the reason he's in you is to give you every day his Holy Spirit. How many know that every day that Holy Spirit is your power? Every day that Holy Spirit is your wisdom. It's your favor. It's your strength. And even though he forgave your sins, they're still there. So the Holy Spirit is the only one that can remove them. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes you holy, and you don't have an act, you don't have a purpose, you don't have anything to do about it. It's just simply, you just take it and say, yeah, I want that. However, if you have trust in yourself to do something, you won't take it because you're still confident in yourself. And every day I realize and know that I'm not able. I am incapable. I'm not organized. I'm not on top of things. I'm not smart. I'm not good. Every day, I'm reminded that apart from Jesus, I don't have anything. I am nothing. And I have no hope. But I walk around as though I'm fine. And the reason I do is because I believe and I have received his Holy Spirit. I believe that Jesus died for me and his blood covers me. And I really do. I really do. But I also am no longer proud of myself. I'm no longer building on sand, something that shifts all the time. You can do something one day and think, wow. And people even will say, that was wonderful, that was good. But the next day you fail. And I notice that that's a pattern, that I can't rely upon anything that God hath done from me, through me. I can't rely on that. And I was telling Peggy, if I died, I'm sure people are going to come to my funeral. But I really think that I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure of anything. I'm not really sure of anything. Everything is fragile. Everything is so nothing except this one thing, what God wrote in his word. What God wrote in his word is now my very life. So I live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I believe when I die that Jesus will be there. And that's all that matters to me, if I've pleased Jesus, not my behavior, not my behavior. My behavior doesn't please Jesus, but that I didn't do anything. I totally trusted that I don't need to be active because he was active and I'm passive to his action. I totally depend upon, totally rely upon, totally am happy and alive and just carefree. Though I wish I could do stuff, but I no longer have confidence that I can do stuff, even though I think at times I'm smart, or I'm capable, or I can do that, or whatever. I don't do that because I just don't believe that anymore. And so, is that old age? I don't know. Maybe it is. But I know one thing: I believe this word. So, this book of Galatians, just two things. It's either active or passive. You're either righteous by activity, or you're righteous by inactivity, where Jesus did it all. So I am no longer an actor. How many of you have been actors at some point? You know, you used to try your best to be excellent at what you did or worthy or something. I'm no longer doing that. I readily admit I'm readily feeble, readily weak, ignorant, wicked, apart from him. But I don't think I am because of him. So I believe Jesus is my righteousness, Margaret. I believe that he is my mother, my father, my everything. I just don't believe I'm in trouble. I believe that I'm absolutely blessed forever, no matter what. And I'm constantly surrounded by possibilities of either being awesome or being tossed to the ground. I mean, know that many people live that way constantly. They're kind of manic, depressive kind of people who are up one minute and down the next minute, and up one minute and down the next minute. And that's kind of a yo-yo kind of life. Well, I didn't want that life. I don't believe in that life. Now that Jesus has come, I don't have to bluff my way through. I did bluff, and I think I believed my bluff. I think I thought, look what I've done, or look what I've achieved, or look what I can do, or so on and so forth. I don't believe that anymore. I believe that everything is passive and nothing is active. I believe Jesus has done everything that needed to be done for me, in me, and through me, and I'm not worried about it. Now, that kind of worry-free life is impossible with men, but possible with God. It's just a gift, isn't it? It's a gift. You have problems everywhere, but you're not worried about any of them. You don't care because everything is going your way because Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. So if it weren't for that Bible, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know just by walking through the woods or seeing a sunset. I wouldn't know by anything in this world. But when the Bible says it, I've just come to realize that that's my whole life. My whole life now is living by that word of promise. I don't see any laws in the Bible. I only see promises. Whatever laws are in there, they're for Jesus. He did them. They're already done. So I believe that his love, perfect love, casts out all my fear or my worry or my whatever. Now, I work hard, but I don't believe in any of my work hard. I just don't believe in it. I don't have any confidence in it, because you can miss one little point, and then the whole thing falls apart. So I don't believe in my ability anymore. I don't have any confidence. Now, how many here are weak like me in terms of being a great actor? You know, you don't have any confidence in your flesh anymore. Is Lord, if I do something and people are blessed, I didn't want to take it seriously. It's just, that was you. That was you.
Amen.
That was just impossible. But thank you. I celebrate it. I celebrate it because I believe that God is good. And he shouldn't love me, but he does. And I want that. I'm not going to let that go. I won't let him go until he blesses me every day. I want to be blessed every day. And I shouldn't be able to laugh and smile and go through the day. But I believe that God is gracious and all-powerful and all-knowing, and that he likes Sam, likes me, likes Margaret, likes even Alex. It's a miracle.
It is
a miracle. And Alex got a haircut, by the way. We've all been praying about that, but praise God. Alex is a great, blessed brother. And what a blessing. You know that everybody on earth is a gift to us. Everybody on earth is a gift to us in whatever condition they are. Whatever condition they are, doesn't matter. And they're equally loved by God. I don't think there's another God that is like that. I know there's no other God like that. I know none of the other gods even claim that. They all claim you should be good and not be bad. Ours is the only God that says, I don't care who you are and how it is, I love you with a perfect love. And God doesn't want you to act. He wants to act for you, in you, through you. That is amazing God. That covers everything. So, what are the two kinds of righteousness? Who can say it?
Active and
passive. Active and passive. Which one is active? Which one is passive? Well, over here it's passive because Jesus did it for me and in me and through me. And over there it's active. I do it. I act or God acts? Which is best?
God.
God's action because he's the parent. We're dependent. We're relying on. He's our rock. He's our unmovable. He doesn't move. This is one rock. All rocks on earth are movable. They're shakable. Everything on the earth could be drowned by water or could be burned by fire, but there's one that can't be, and that's the Rock of Ages, cleft for me. That Rock of Ages never moves. It's there forever and ever and ever. And that rock wants you to stand on him in the day of the flood. He wants you to run into him on the day where you need a refuge. That rock is our all in all. That is your husband. That is the Lord Jesus who wants to marry you forever because God sent him for that purpose. So I receive him. And this is, I wouldn't even believe anything I just said. There's no way you can prove what I just said to be true. I can't believe anyone believes in that. But I do. I do. And I'm totally happy. I mean, it's all my joy. It's all my peace. It's all my everything is just knowing what God has done. I'm never interested in how well I do or how poorly I do. I'm only interested in one thing. God, you're everything. You're everything to me. Margaret, isn't that powerful? It's powerful. It doesn't make any sense. I can't figure it. There's no way I can explain it. I can't give it to somebody who doesn't have it. All I can do is testify. Just testify. I marvel, Paul says, he's talking to the church. He's marveling at the church. I marvel at you Galatians that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace, charis, of Christ unto another gospel. I'm so amazed that here's your gospel over here, passive righteousness, and then you've so quickly, after you got that, run off and you're doing it again. It's like a little kid. You tell him not to do something and he says he's sorry, and the next minute he's doing it again. He's just doing it again. Didn't I just tell you not to do that? You know, and we know he did, but we just forgot. You know, as soon as you tell the child, okay, we'll go and play again, but don't hit your sister or whatever it is, he'll be hitting his sister again. It's like the morning dew. It so quickly goes away. It's there, but then all of a sudden it's gone. And that is how we are apart from God. And only God can, be patient with us and love us and want to give us every blessing and not rob us of one blessing. Did you know you're blessed already with every blessing in heavenly places? Why? Because if you have Jesus, he freely gives you everything. You don't just get Jesus. You get everything else that accompanies salvation. Now, I marvel, Paul says, I'm just stumped by this, that you are so soon removed from him that called you. He called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. There is no other gospel. There can't be another gospel. This is not the gospel. This is the law. This puts the weight on you to behave. Don't behave. I want you to say, I will not behave.
I will not behave.
I'm not going to behave. Say it. I'm not going to behave. I'm not going to be a great actor.
A great actor.
A great pretender. I mean, the songwriter's right about that. But everybody wants to do it because there's a pride in us that says, I want to do something. I want to make an offering. I want to make a sacrifice. I want to do something awesome that people will marvel at. But Paul says, I marvel that you have so soon gotten this good news, and then immediately you go out and you have another gospel. You got some other base, foundation, sand, shifting sand, instead of the rock that God gave you, which you needed so badly, and then you just forgot about it. Like little children. And they just won't behave. They just won't behave. And they'll behave for a few seconds, and then they forget. Which is not another. In other words, there can't be two good newses. There's only one good news. There can't be two gods. There's only one God. And Jesus, the Son of that one God, is himself God. And he came to tell you, and then he left us, but he sent us the Holy Spirit, who is also God, and the same God. The same Spirit of the Father and of the Son. And he's that Spirit now. And he's the only one, not the Father, not the Son. He's the only one that isn't finished. The other two finished. The Creator, the Father, he created everything. Jesus was there helping him. The Holy Spirit was there helping him. But and then Jesus died. The Holy Spirit didn't die. The Father didn't die. That was just his. But now they were also involved in it. The Father sent him to do it. The Holy Spirit was with him. He never, you know, when he gave up his human spirit as Son of Man, he didn't give up his divine spirit, and that spirit rose him from the dead. And so now the Holy Spirit is the only one who's making you not just forgiven, not just created like the Father, forgiven like the Son, but he's making you holy because God's still acting on your behalf.
Thank you, Lord.
He created you, then he redeemed you, and now he's perfecting you. And he's the finisher. In any home that's being built, you lay a foundation, and then somebody builds the building, the house, and you're the house that's being built, by the way. And then somebody comes and finishes it, so that it's furnished and it's got all the wallpaper and the little hinges on the doors and everything. Everything is finished and perfected so that when he comes back, he'll take his bride and marry her. And that will be you because you didn't do anything.
Praise God.
Because God did everything. And you had what kind of righteousness?
Passive.
Passive righteousness. You didn't do a thing. Nothing was ever expected of you to do. And so God just gave you a free gift, because of his love. It's just God showing you that all his glory is for you. He lives every day. He hardly can wait for you to wake up each day so that he can show you some more blessings. He's not at all far away. He's not a God far away. He's not a God way up in heaven. He's a God inside your heart.
Hallelujah.
Who wants to bless you every day, every minute, so that with all the mistakes you make, they don't count, not in his sight. He covers them. He forgives them, then he removes them, and then he perfects you so that you don't even do them. That is amazing. That is amazing. Kathy, I can't understand that. It's just like too good to be true.
Amen.
It's like impossible. It's impossible.
Amen.
Because I know I can't do that. I'm marveling every day that I can't not sin or do good, or I can't do anything. I just can't. I can't stop and I can't start and I just don't have any life until I'm a branch grafted in to that vine and all of a sudden fruit comes out and people mistakenly assume I did it. No, I didn't do it. I was not the source of it. I was the channel for it.
Amen.
I wasn't the source of it. Because you know I can't do that. I can't go to her. I'm not going to talk to him. I'm not, it doesn't matter because it's not up to you anyway. Well, I don't have enough money, but that doesn't matter. I don't think I'm smart enough to handle this. You can't handle anything, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to bless you just because I want to. Please, just take it. Please. I'm asking. I'm not forcing you. Just take it. Enjoy it. Celebrate today, right now, for the rest of your life, because forever and ever, God wants to give you everything. Well, that's what God is looking for. Passive righteousness for us. Active on his part, passive on our part. We just take it. Little children just take what their parents give them, and they're happy. I notice Brazos is always happy. You know, a few times she might not be, but she's pretty much 100% happy all the time. Today she sat next to me and said, I'm going to a birthday party today, and everybody's five. You know, so it's like everybody's her age, and she told me a whole bunch of them, you know, just rattled them off. You know, I don't even remember the names, but she knew all of them. And she knew what position she had in the midst. Now, he's the tallest. He's five, but he's taller than the rest of us. And this one is this way. And he's explaining it. And she's totally happy as though she didn't have a care in the world, except she didn't even know what time it was or anything. So, well, when is that going to be? I don't know. But it's today. So, totally happy because she's oblivious to her own anything. She's just enjoying herself. Yeah. She totally had no fear or anxiety or worry. Is there going to be a cake? Oh, yes, there is going to be a cake. So, what you know is that Jesus Christ is for you, on your side. Amen. And he guarantees that he'll never leave you or forsake you, but he guarantees that no one will ever harm you. No one. Not even death. That's the last enemy is death. How many are worried about death? Don't. Don't worry about death. Death is not the last word.
Amen.
Life is the first and last word. Amen. For us. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. In other words, to have and to hold. To have and to hold. To have and to hold, the habendum clause is not only that you possess something, but you're holding it, you're keeping it. And when someone tries to remove the habendum clause in a instrument, in a written instrument, then you may have it, but you don't hold it. Somebody's going to take it from you. But God wants you to have quiet enjoyment of everything he's given you. In this world and in the next. In other words, enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. That's a song, but it's the truth. You can enjoy yourself today. Is it evil or wrong for you to laugh and celebrate and enjoy yourself today? No. No, he wants you to. It's his will. It's his pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's his pleasure. It's his pleasure to give you everything. Not in heaven. Now. Start today. So, from now on, Sam, you're to be happy all the time.
Hallelujah.
I believe you've got that down. Yeah. I believe you know that apart from him, you can do nothing. But in him, you can do anything. You can do everything. There is nothing you can't do. Well, that's amazing. So, why waste time on worries or fears or doubts or anger or anything else? Why waste your time when Jesus has already done everything? Why are we not celebrating? Chad, I guess he went to work, but he sang that song today about let us celebrate.
Amen.
Let us celebrate. Why? Because everything, I don't know why I was paying attention to the words today, to all the songs, and they were all perfect. They were all perfect. And his prayer was absolutely perfect. It was everything that I wanted to say. And so I'm amazed. I marvel that so quickly, so soon, you have turned from the passive righteousness to the active righteousness. I can't believe you have another gospel, because there isn't any other gospel. That is the only gospel. I like it that God doesn't want two things. He only wants one thing. I can't handle two things at once. They confuse me. I forget which one I'm supposed to do first. But here, this is the only one. If you just pay attention to what God has done and never pay attention to what you could also do, just don't worry about what you haven't done or have done. Don't worry about it. You're going to get a reward, but not for what you did. You're going to get a reward for what Jesus did. You sowed, he reaped. What you sowed? Death. He sowed, and you reap what he did. Life. That's incredible. That is so simple that you're going to reap what Jesus sowed. I know what the Bible says under the law. Under the law, you reap what you sow. And if that's true, you're guilty. If that's true, you're nervous. If that's true, you're worried, you're shaky. But if that's not true, and I believe it's not true, I don't believe the law is God's word permanent. I believe it's a temporary word only to drive you to the true word of God. So there's nothing you can do to save yourself, create yourself, redeem yourself, perfect yourself, marry him. There's nothing you can do except, yes, just take it. Just take it and enjoy it. Totally passive, totally passive, totally passive. The whole world is screaming at you, behave yourself. Don't do that, do this. The whole world. It's trying to make you, shape you, be a God over you to help you out. I don't want to hear what anyone has to say because I don't trust them. I don't believe them. I don't believe any of the candidates are good. Amen. Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever. I don't believe any of them are good. I have no knowledge that any of them are telling the truth. I don't have any knowledge of that. So somebody asked me last night, they're always asking, who are you going to vote for? I have no clue. I really don't. I don't have a clue. It's not like I can say, here's my man, here's the person I'm going to vote for, here's the woman, whatever. I don't. I like this little part and I like that part, but then again, they don't have any followers. You know, I thought so-and-so was going to do something or other. But so the ones that I might have confidence in, they don't have a base. There's no money behind them. The ones that are articulate, so what? I don't even know if what they're saying is true. It's just they're very articulate.
Right.
And so I have no idea if the scoundrel is the good one or the good one is the scoundrel. I don't have any idea. So I'm not going to decide until the last moment. I mean, I've made my decisions over the months and I still haven't decided. It's like up to the wire. There is nothing on this earth that I can rely on. So mine is just Jesus. Mine is just Jesus. When I cast that vote, I could be a total illusion, you know, whenever I do it. And I can't listen to friends or the party, you know, apparatus or this group or that tribe or whatever. I just have to make my own decision, and I want to. But it may be wrong. So I have to have total confidence that Jesus is the only one that's for me, and that's the only one I need to worry about. So I am a single-focused person. I can't do two things at once, three, four. Peggy can do five or six things all at once. And in the middle of her sentence, she'll transfer to another topic entirely, and I'm still focused on the one question she asked, and she's already on another topic. Well, and I'm answering, and she goes, I'm not talking about that. Well, you didn't finish your sentence. I thought we were still on that one. I can't follow, but she is. She knows exactly what she intended and meant. And it's like, that's incredible. You know, I have no idea. So I have to ask her all the time, am I answering the original question 7 minutes ago that you started, or am I answering a new question. Have we already gone past that one? You were just expressing yourself, not really asking. Oh, that was rhetorical and so on and so forth. But I find, you know what? Why even worry about it? I'm just going to say whatever I say and then let her correct me and, you know, let's go on. Hello? So the fight has gone out of me. And all I have left is joy. All I have left is, you know, happiness. Why? Because Jesus loves me, this I know. I'm like Brassus. I'm exactly like Brassus. I don't know anything. I don't, with all that I know, I don't know anything. Now, can anyone else say
amen?
Amen.
Amen.
What do we know? Who are we, really? Is money in the bank your worth? What is your worth? What is our net worth? I say I've got everything. I say everything's going my way. Zippity-doo-dah. So, I am at home, here. I don't need to go to heaven to be happy. I'm already happy. Why? Because it's not active on my part. Nothing is depending on me. Thank God. Thank God. You don't tell Brassus about all the debts you owe and all the bills you have to pay. You know, Brassus, you got to do something. We need your help. We're a family. You're one of these, and you can't rely on mom and dad. Here, we need your help. You don't do that to her. She doesn't even know about anything, nor would she grasp it or understand it. It's like, where's my toy? You know, is it supper time? You know, she's on to just herself, just enjoying herself. Isn't that Christian? Except you become, as a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of God. You can't even get in the door. If you think it's active on your part, you missed it. I marvel, Paul says, that you have so soon, so quickly fallen away, fallen back into another gospel, which is no gospel at all. Pastor, I'm glad you're going to keep reading. Yeah. Well, you know what? I could stay on that one verse for months. Really, there's nothing in this Bible that isn't contained in what we just said. And all the rest of the words are going to say the same thing. They're just going to reinforce it. So it isn't how many verses you go through or how many chapters you finish. It's just, it all says the same thing. Same DNA. Same exact DNA. Give me any scripture, I can say the same thing. But there be some, verse 7, that trouble you and would pervert the gospel, would change the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow. And that word Christ means Messiah. That there are some that would try to trick you into thinking you have to do your part. There's something you have to do. Wait a minute. Yes, Jesus did his part. Now it's your turn. No, it isn't. It's not your turn. Well, when I grow up, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Well, most of us are already grown up. And I don't know. What is it you can do? Tell me all the great things that you're capable of doing, how smart you are, how have you done in your health, how have you done in your relationships, how have you done in, getting past your bills or having a just government or anything. I don't know what it is we've done in our civilization except to realize we still haven't finished our pyramid. Whatever it is we were building, it's not built, and it'll never be built. How many know you don't have to build your own pyramid? Jesus has already done it all. You're the house he's building. It will be finished. It's the only thing that will be finished. I will build my church, us, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, but it will always prevail against it. The gates of hell will take everything that you did right here. It'll burn. It'll be gone. It'll be destroyed. Nothing that you have here is permanent. Everything that you have. You remember he said to Israel when he was back in the promised land, leave your stuff. We got plenty of stuff here in Egypt. You don't need your stuff. Leave your stuff. Don't bring anything. Bring empty wagons. We'll fill you up here. You're going to have the best of the land. Don't worry about it. You'll be taken care of. That's because Joseph was in charge of the world and he really wasn't even the Pharaoh. But he was totally in charge of everything the Pharaoh had to do in his private household, left hand, or right hand, and in his public. He had charge over everything. Everything was under Joseph's trusteeship because Joseph was under God. That's the reason the Pharaoh accepted him in to take care of everything, because he saw he was a servant. He saw that he never worked. Joseph never did his own will. He never did his own will. Even when his family came, he went to the Pharaoh and said, you know, is it all right if I bring my family? Yeah, give them the best. But he didn't do it. He didn't have to worry. He didn't have to work. He even had fun when his brother came. Remember how he hid the little cup in the bag and all that stuff? He had fun. He had fun with his brothers because he had remembered how they did him in. And he just thought, I'm going to just poke a little bit of fun at him here. And I'll get to see my brother this way.
Yeah.
I get to see my brother, my younger brother, Benjamin. It means son of the right hand. Did you know that you're Benjamin? Everybody here is Benjamin. You're the son of God's right hand. Why? Because you decided to go with passive righteousness. And Benjamin, remember when he sat at table with Joseph and all the brothers? Well, he took him out. There were 10 brothers at a big table. And then he put his brother, Benjamin, right next to him. And gave him 5 times what he gave everybody else. 5 times. That means Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, by the way. In other words, his Torah portion was huge, whereas the others didn't get that. Because the hope is in the Son of the right hand, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to live your life for you, Benjamin. You are now the beloved of God. You are now the beloved of God. Isn't that amazing? Is that not amazing to you? That we have a God that can do miracle things like that. That Benjamin, who was the guy, you know, safe at home, he brought him on this dangerous journey because one kid put the cup in his bag, but actually it was Joseph himself that did it. And, you know, that's how God, I tell you, God, don't ever wonder about God. He's always on your side. And he was not doing it to hurt his brothers. He was doing it to help them. And did they flourish? And did they become millions? And then when a new problem arose, a new Pharaoh arose, it still worked out for their benefit. Not one cow died in Egypt that belonged to an Israeli. So Al-Qaeda today, ISIS today, all of the other alphabets, their cows are not going to make it.
Right.
You can't go against Israel and curse Israel and then survive.
Amen.
But God has mercy.
Yes.
And through Israel's mercy toward her enemies, she'll be blessed too. Because we are to love our enemies even as Christ has loved us. We are to love our enemies. We don't want our enemies to perish. We just want them to come under the same mercy. And you know how Israel's going to come back to the Lord? To Yeshua, HaMashiach. They do it through our mercy. Not that we're merciful to them. You don't have to worry about acting nice toward Jewish people. No, it isn't because you like them or you act nice. It's because they see that we got favor and wisdom from God by doing nothing. They know that we don't even try as hard as they try to keep that law. We're not trying at all. And they marvel that we're blessed anyway. And we're just goyim. We're just, you know, Gentiles. We don't even know what we're doing. But somehow we get blessed and we didn't do anything. We didn't do anything right. It's time to go.
Quarter after.
All right. I have to go. Where am I? All right. 8. But Some pervert the gospel of Christ. They're trying to get you to do something. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, we or an angel, I mean, even if an angel comes down and tells you you have to do something, you do have a part to play. You tell them, no, I don't. I'm not going to act. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to receive and enjoy. I'm just going to dance and sing. I'm just going to thank, praise, and adore. That's all I'm going to do. Is that not easy? Is that not sweet? That's what I want for Peggy. I want Peggy, who just saved me because I don't watch the time. I want Peggy to enjoy herself and not have to stand up and remind me and so on. But she does, because she doesn't want me to, you know, because I don't remember what. When I'm here in Dallas, I don't think about Fort Worth at all, not even for a second. As soon as I leave here, I don't think about Dallas at all. I'm on that raceway to get all the way to Fort Worth on time and so on. So I am completely inept, totally inept. I cannot remember to put gas in the car or anything else. Peggy has to. Jim, do you see how you're out of gas? No. Thank you. And so, I don't know, I need 50 secretaries or something to help out, although Peggy is awfully good, you know. So it's amazing that I have a wife that puts up with me, and I love it. Don't you see how God picked the right wife for me?
Yeah.
It's just perfect. It's perfect. I wouldn't even have ties or anything if it weren't for Peggy, you know. And so I love it, because I never shop. I never go to a mall or anything. I have no idea what they even are like, because when I go shopping, I just walk in, give me the first thing, and give that to Peg, and that's it. And it doesn't take me 7 seconds to decide, okay, that's it, go wait in line a few minutes, and I'm out. Because I'm not interested in anything. I have no interest in that. I'm always thinking about what my calling is from God. Is these are people for whom you're responsible. I never lose that. I never for a moment do my own agenda. I don't do my own agenda. I don't want to. Why? Because I've been called to do nothing. I've been called to do whatever He says, whatever He wants. Meaning, He uses my hands. He uses my mind or whatever else. But I'm totally subject to Him. And I'm totally pleased with that. I couldn't be more content. What'd you learn today?
Rest.
Passive. Good.
Passive righteousness.
Passive righteousness. What else? What else did you learn today?
Don't listen to false prophets.
Don't listen to anything else. No other voice. No other authority. I mean, the whole world's screaming at you. Behave. Do this. Get in on time. You know, make sure you do this. You know. Perform this way, but not God. God is not. God is saying, look, I'll never put a burden on you. I will never put a burden on you. And don't take anybody else's burden. You are free. You're free in Christ. Don't act. Just say, God, deliver me. Help me. Give me favor. Give me wisdom. That's what He loves. He loves to answer those prayers. God, help me out. I'm overwhelmed right now. It's okay, Jim, just relax. Well, what do I do? Jim, don't do anything. Let me do it.
Amen.
Isn't that a good parent? Is that a good parent?
I love that.
Isn't that a good parent? And that's a good wife.
Ezekiel 36, it says, I will do it.
I will do it.
And it's 82 verbs in the Hebrew, do.
Good, yeah.
So that's what I got out of this.
Yeah.
Remember.
I will. So God is the one who has given you everything. Everything you enjoy today, thank you, Jesus. Everything you enjoy today, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the family that raised me. Thank you that they didn't look perfect, but I believe they're just the family I needed. And thank you for the church. Thank you for everything. Just thank God for everything. Why? He likes that. It's how you enter His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise, and into the Holy of Holies with adoration and unbelievable love for the God who first loved you.
Hallelujah.
It's powerful. Margaret, don't ever act. Don't react. Just simply take delivery. Take what God has offered you. The offer is so on your side. The offer is so good. Don't you love to get a present or a gift that you weren't expecting you were going to get, but you got it anyway? And it's just like, wow, that's a miracle. I mean, we notice that that's a miracle. We even say it. Even secular people say it. Thank God. You know, even secular people, they don't even believe in God. They'll say it because they know, my God, how did that happen? I was expecting not to get it. I was expecting not to receive this. So people are amazed at love. They're amazed that anyone could love anyone on this earth. anyone could be happy on this earth. But I want you to be happy all the time. If God be for you, who could be for you? Who could be against you? Nobody. There's nobody for you, and there's nobody against you. You don't have anyone for you. You don't have anyone for you. You do if God sent them. But that was God. God that sent them. And just thank God. Thank God I had this person that assisted me or helped me. And I need that all the time, like Peggy. Thank God, perfect wife. Thank God that I have a good wife. And I don't look at all her flaws. I don't care about them. I don't care about them. Because the blessings far outweigh anything else I might have thought. But the Bible tells me I don't give bad gifts. And God can't give an imperfect gift. It looks imperfect, but it's not. So I don't need to look. I don't need to worry about what the wrapping looks like. I just know that whatever it is, it's good. It's just what I need. I have a God that supplies almost all of my needs. All my needs. All my needs according to his riches in glory. So, hope you're blessed today.
Absolutely.
Willis, close in prayer.
Lord, we just thank you for this time we spent together. I just want to give thanks right now for somebody that was sent in my life at a young age to pray for me. And Joe, so grateful for her. And then you brought us back together many years after I come to know you and follow hard after you. So just thank you so much for Joe right now, Father.
Amen.
And continue to bless her. And thank you for Pastor Jim and Peggy. Take care of them on the way to Fort Worth. And bless each person here, our fellowship. Together, it might grow stronger and stronger. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God.